at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Fort Worth has gotten some good news recently in the form of federal commitments to help fund a couple of big infrastructure projects. Our Fort Worth reporter Christopher Connolly sat down with KERA managing editor Eric Austin to talk about the details.
Okay, let's take these one at a time. The first big project that got federal funding is this Trinity River Vision Plan. So what's the Vision Plan all about?
Right. So this is a massive project just north of downtown Fort Worth that's essentially going to reroute a section of the Trinity River. It'll basically create an island in the Trinity. It was primarily conceived as an anti-flooding measure, which is why it's being overseen by the Army Corps of Engineers. In December, Congress approved more than $500 million in federal funds to go to that project. It was all part of a big water infrastructure bill that they passed.
You say it's conceived as an anti-flooding measure, but certainly it's going to become a tourist attraction.
Right. The second phase here is they're calling it Panther Island. And basically, it's mostly privately funded, and it's an economic development plan that would create a mixed-use housing, retail, and entertainment district. Think of it as Fort Worth's answer to the San Antonio Riverwalk.
That sounds ambitious.
It is. It's a huge multi-year plan. Of course, right now, it's also behind schedule. They're building three bridges over the area that's going to become a bypass channel for the Trinity, and that's about a year behind schedule. It's led to a new round of criticism about the project and criticism over its nearly billion-dollar price tag.
Okay, moving from a project that's within Fort Worth to a project that could get people out of Fort Worth to the airport, it's for this new train.
Right. It's the Texrail project, and it's a commuter train that'll go from downtown Fort Worth to DFW International Airport. It'll stop along the way in North Richland Hills and Grapevine. The Fort Worth Transit Authority is heading up the project, and the T, as it's called, got confirmation basically that they'll get a final $500 million in federal funds to pay for it. Construction, though, had already started earlier this fall.
Basically, Fort Worth is solving a transit problem that Dallas had already solved when it extended the Orange Dart Line to DFW Airport. So is this just keeping up with the Joneses?
To some degree, it is. I mean, this is all part of the T's master plan that would dramatically expand transit in the western half of the metro. Fort Worth has long lagged behind the other big Texas cities in terms of public transit funding. Although, we should point out, there is a public transit option from Fort Worth to DFW Airport right now, but it's a little convoluted.
Again, it's certainly not the most direct route.
Right. So, I mean, it's basically, you take the Trinity River Express train, which gets you to a bus just south of the airport. That bus takes you to another bus, and that will take you to your terminal. Christopher Reels, I talked to him for a story about this earlier. He works at DFW Airport, and he makes that trek every day when he has to go to work.
It'll probably take him about an hour from bus to train to bus to bus, but if the timing is not right, we're looking at 2 hours to 2 hours and a half.
Texrail would obviously make his life easier, but the T also says that it'll be a boon for tourists coming into the city. They also point to two big development projects that are in the works around the stations in North Richland Hills and Grapevine already. They say that's a ripple-out effect for investing in public transit.
Christopher Connolly is the Fort Worth reporter for KERA News. Chris, thanks for stopping by.
Sure thing.
Last week, the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance led its annual homeless count. Advocates say the numbers should be similar to last year's, including the fact that in Dallas, the homeless population is disproportionately black. It's also the case in Tarrant County. In Dallas, the Homeless Alliance recently received a $32,000 grant from the United Way of Metropolitan Dallas to join a national initiative on racial inequity. As KERA's Stephanie Kuo reports, closing the racial gap requires a look into Dallas's past.
Over the past year, the city of Dallas has gradually shut down the homeless encampments near Fair Park, where hundreds lived under highway bridges. Cindy Crane is the CEO of the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance and a member of the KERA Community Advisory Board. Her organization spearheaded those closures. She's been working with the homeless for years. And still, one moment at a homeless camp surprised her.
And they all got gathered up, and we took a group photo. And it was stunning because it was such blatantly and obviously an extraordinary amount of persons of color, black folks of Dallas, living under bridges compared to other ethnicities and races.
That racial disparity forced Crane to confront gaps in helping the homeless.
Because it should impact how we apply our services and distribute resources. You can't talk about homelessness without talking about race. You have to look at those numbers because they don't add up.
About 13% of Americans are Black, yet Black people make up nearly 27% of those in poverty and more than 40% of the homeless living in shelters, according to census data. In Dallas, that number is 70%.
A disproportionality like that sort of immediately speaks to a systemic issue.
That's Mark Dones of the Center for Social Innovation, a social justice group that works with vulnerable communities.
Black people are about 3 times more likely than white folks to experience homelessness. I would enjoin us always to remember that disproportionality points us always towards injustice.
He says individual circumstances alone can't account for the rates of poverty and homelessness in people of color.
We have had extremely racist housing policy in this country, going back to institutional redlining that didn't officially end until 1968, that blocked folks of color, and particularly Black folks, out of purchasing homes through federally backed mortgages that led to ghettoization. We had blockbusting. We had the urban renewal projects, which drove Black people out of cities and into other ghettos.
Maps of Dallas in the 1930s show that swaths of non-white poor neighborhoods were redlined. Over several decades, many Black families were forced into substandard living conditions. Those who moved into South Dallas, which at the time was predominantly white, had their homes firebombed, burned, and vandalized. Jones says decades of employment discrimination and segregation exacerbated the problem, which still lingers.
We did no work to systematically audit and change our systems away from being racist. You have systems that still continue to produce those same racist results.
Housing advocates say the city has had a long struggle with landlords discriminating against tenants with Section 8 housing vouchers, most of whom are Black. In 2013, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development accused the city of knowingly misusing federal funds to promote racial segregation in public housing. The issue is still ongoing. Dallas officials have said they do follow federal housing guidelines, but some city council members have said the accusation serves as a reminder that public housing is still primarily located in South Dallas, which is now home to some of the city's poorest residents. Jeff Olivet is the CEO of the Center for Social Innovation. His organization is collecting personal stories to help better understand how people become homeless.
Homelessness is a systematic breakdown, not a personal failing. To unpack homelessness and to end homelessness, you've got to come at it from a kind of multi-systems point of view. And we believe that's best done with a lens of racial equity. That's not to say that homelessness is only about race. Of course it's not. It's about 100 other things as well. But there is a dimension of racial equity.
Derek Gallette agrees. He's Black and a single father to 10-year-old Derek Jr. He lives at Family Gateway, which provides transitional housing in Dallas. He's a certified nursing assistant.
I have an apartment, and all I'm waiting now is for the 6 and 8 people to get with the apartment and say, hey, we did the check, it's good. And they call me and tell me when to come to pick up my key and to move forward.
Gallette is 50 and moved into a homeless shelter while juggling his finances paying child support. He has 4 other children. He's happy he's getting into public housing, but says the process was long and tedious with a lot of mix-ups and delays with apartment managers.
So that's a form of, to me, of racism or discrimination.
Gallette says he's better off than the homeless people he sees every day on the street.
And when I see it, it disturbs me. I don't have to be out there in the streets the way they are. I'm here only by God's grace.
He's moving forward now towards stable housing and a future that feels more secure. Gallette says, though, he's not so far from the homeless men he sees every day. Men that look a lot like he does. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
Should be cloudy skies tonight, low around 47. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a slight chance for showers with a cooler high near 53. And it's currently 76 degrees in Dallas, 69 in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.